Over the past years, many years, I have collected charts and pictures and overheads for the purpose of making truth visible. So that's what we want to do tonight, making truth visible. I thought that we should share some of them. Because, as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. Put them here. Put this here. This one is the worst of the overheads I have, so the others are all better. This man is preaching his heart out. Can you see it? No, you can't see it. That's his arm right there. He's preaching the gospel, and the old Slewfoot says, that's all man-made. The Bible is full of mistakes, and it's been translated many times, and so it's no good. Besides, science doesn't agree with it. But it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The devil is a person. He has a face, but he's a liar. He shades the truth and twists it. In the beginning was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God the original. Then he created Adam in the image of God. So just like God has three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so Adam has righteousness, knowledge, and holiness, also three in one. But then Adam lost it all for us. But God, in his mercy, he renews us. These two verses show that the Christians are renewed to righteousness, holiness, and knowledge. So again, three in one. When we're born, here we are born. Then we are 100% carnal, unsaved, and Romans 7 is the truth. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. No. I know that within me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's true for this lifespan. Then when we're born again, when we're born from above or born of the Spirit, we begin to struggle. Struggle about what? Like Peter says, in many things we offend all. So we're sinning while we're saved, but we're going up more than down. In many things we offend all. Once we get here, present with the Lord, we are forever spiritual, resurrected, glorified, alive to God, and renewed to righteousness, knowledge, and holiness. So, these are the struggling years, like they say. But from here, you notice that line goes up too. Jesus said, this is life eternal. In other words, this is what eternal life consists of. To know thee, the only true God. So eternity will be blissful forever. Never a boring moment. Knowing God fresh every day. We know all that because God gave us light. The young man went squirrel hunting and a cloudburst overcame him and he was looking for a little shelter and to crawl into. And there he saw this little cave in the side of the mountain. And he went in there and he sat down and he felt good. It was raining outside and there was no wind in his face and no rain on his head. So he sat down. After a while he thought, I have to see what's behind me. So he struck a match and looked around. And what he saw was very disturbing. There was a huge spider behind his head. And a snake curled up behind him on the ground. So he wanted only one thing, out of this place. He wanted out. He's running out. But what made the difference? Light. The little bit of light made all the difference. And so it is with people. This is a spiritual truth. Some people are happy to be in darkness. They don't think they miss anything. They live in darkness. They don't know where they're going. and what's happening, and they're just happy about it. But we should be like this. Once we see trouble, we should make changes, intelligent decisions. We need the light of the Bible to be informed about what's going on and where we are headed. Like this man. He walks by faith. He uses the Bible as his light. And he's walking in the right direction. He's going to walk into glory land. When he dies, he goes there. Trust the Lord. Are we seeing any truth? This goes for nations, for individuals, and for Christians. The good man put down his God-given, spiritual, valid light, and he thinks, I want to try some other things. I'm looking for new revelation, maybe the deeper things of Satan. And so he's looking there, and he's going to step into the swamp and drown. The devil is into deceiving us. It's about following the right light for us. There are conflicting messages. This one is conflicting, and this could be rotten wood or swamp gases. They glow in the dark too. And he's following that, and he's in trouble. So we must be careful not to deviate from the true light, God-given spiritual light. Tells us where we came from, where we're going, and what to do, how to be successful. Here's another one. There are people who give us conflicting messages. This man says, that's the way. This man says, no, that's the way. But what's he to do? What if I have two witnesses in my life and they both give me conflicting messages? The unction. We have the anointing for that. The inner witness will tell us that one is wrong and one is right. We have to rely on that. And we can ask brothers and sisters and ministers in the church, of course. Here's another truth about the Christian life. Paul says, I know that within me that isn't in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that, I find not. We have a sin nature in us before we go to heaven. And so he gets some light from heaven, but this old nature doesn't let him do what he wants to do. As Peter said, we all stumble in many ways. One problem is the human heart. Out of the heart comes folly, deceit, murder, blindness, licentiousness, gluttony, anger, ill will, guilt, and pride, and many more. Out of the heart proceeds adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. But, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Jesus gives us a new heart. I don't know, sometimes we tell children, give your heart to Jesus. I think he wants to give us a new one. I want a new one. I don't want him offer him my old heart full of sin. Another truth in the Christian life is, what does God want out of all this? Well, God gives his word to us, and our response goes back to God. That's what he wants. That's the cycle that's found in the scripture. God said, my word shall not return unto me void. So, the New Testament repeats this. The knowledge of his will in all spiritual understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's what he wants, us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's his. New Testament repeats this. The knowledge of the Bible is not so that we can become theoretical doctors and specialists, but it's supposed to make our attitudes and actions more godly. More study of the Bible means more knowledge of his will. It can mean more potential of faith, and it can mean more pleasing to the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, but with faith, it's very possible to please him. Actually, very easy to please him. And there was a man, and he built a machine in his basement. It was so big that you could hardly walk around. When he was all done, he called his neighbor and said, "You got to see this machine I invented." "Okay, let's go down." So they went down, and the inventor turned it on, and the wheels were turning, and the lights were blinking, and levers were going, and it was humming. After a while, the man asked, "Well, what does it do?" The proud inventor said, "It does nothing, it just runs." That's not the kind of machine we want to be. We can just run. We can just go to church once a week, and that's it. And we just run and produce nothing for God. God wants an output, fruit. The Spirit produces the fruit. Uh-huh. Yeah. Another subject. Some people are trying to carry the world and the cross. But it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Notice he is off the trail. And he's about to step into the abyss right here. He's trying to carry the world and the cross. So many Christians have gone shipwrecked doing this, trying this. And he's missing heaven altogether. It's a pity. It's not necessary. Another thing is about worship. The subject of what does God want? Does he just want our worship? But living the Christian life is our worship. Church attendance is only a small part of it. This is church attendance, and this is living the Christian life. God wants the whole thing. People say, "Oh, I intend this real nice worship service over there in that nice church." But that's not enough. We have something to work on. Talking about backsliders, some Christians backslide. They have evil desire, self-will, self-deception, hardness of heart, blindness, presumption, desperate wickedness, because things are not what they seem to be. It seems to be that enjoyment of life comes by doing what feels good, what looks good, or what appears good, pleasant, or positive. He's being tempted and he's running downhill. We need to be one another's keepers and prevent this. People want to get ahead in the world. Christians too. They go for titles and honors and fame and power. But notice, he's swinging his sword to get ahead. Mostly we have to trample others down in order to step on them. This man is stepping on bodies. That's not what we want. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Then there's other people, not Christians, but the world. They want to eat, drink, and be merry. They think they want to enjoy this life and just do everything that seems good. But we have to fight the good fight of faith. Solomon said, "The wise man sees the evil coming and hides himself. The naive does nothing and suffers for it." It's also unnecessary. He stands a chance. He's working hard. He's rowing against the current. And the current in the world is usually wrong. But fortunately, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. This young man, he likes to be saved. You can see it on his face. And he has a burden of sin. And he's going to take it to Jesus and leave it there. I heard one man say, "I have to clean up my life before I come to God." But that's not so. Jesus wants to take our sins and remove them, wash them, forgive them. It's totally He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So Jesus is going to take this and throw it east or west. Notice east or west has no pole. If we went from North Pole to South Pole, that would be a finite distance. But from east to west, it's infinite, keeps going. You can't find a pole. That's how far he's going to remove our sins. I'm glad. Mine go that way. Some people are running from him. Too many people. Most of the world is running from him. They have no use for him. They don't believe it. But he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he's really good at it. He saved the most unlikely people. There's a song about that. Only I can read it. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity and from sin and the grave. Weep over the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Yes, he will save. He promised. Whosoever will come to me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. This may be the scariest one we ever do. The house is on fire. The good man says, jump, jump, I catch you. So it takes faith. He's jumping. She never did this before. People may be afraid of this, but we have to venture into it. We have to jump. The house is on fire, literally and spiritually. Our world is on fire. And the elements will burn up with fervent heat someday soon. This is the way up. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. We start at the bottom. We grab some faith, or God gives us some faith, humility, repentance, hope, expectation, sanctification, and adoption. It says that angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. Our natural response is, this is way too good to be true. In this world, we got lied to, we got ripped off, we got deceived and trapped. There are strings attached to every gift. There's no free lunch. But God says, I'm not like man that I should lie. So we can't transfer this from worldly people to God. God is not a man that he should lie like we do. He gives. He gives. He doesn't loan. He doesn't trade. He doesn't borrow. But he gives outright. God never revealed his provision with a loan. He always gives more than enough usually. So the angels are rejoicing. That's great. That's something to meditate on. These things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life in his name. All we have to do is nothing to wind up like this. The devil will, man is the victim. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The devil will tell us we still have so much time. Later, maybe we can be religious or spiritual. But that's how many people go to perdition, because they listen to him. They think they still have so much time. They can repent someday when they're on their deathbed. In the meanwhile, we're going to have fun and enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season and just live it up. But it doesn't work. It's a trick. It's a trap. Physical death is just half of it. Because it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Man is not the main sinner. Man is not the main criminal. Man is the main victim. The devil is deceiving the nations. The devil is deceiving us and murdering us and killing us and destroying us. This is how the world will look if the devil has his way. His lust is to murder. The devil said, eat. You will be wise like God. The devil will destroy our world, our country, our houses, our families, our bodies, our minds, our ministries, and our eternity if we let him. But Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. So we have to know who our friend is and follow him. There's a future blessing waiting for us. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. I've heard this. If we are born once, if we are born only once, then we die twice. How so? We're born naturally at childbirth. And if that's it, then we're going to die twice. The second death will be getting us. But if we're born twice, we only die once. We're born naturally and we're born again spiritually. That's twice. And we only have to die once because over such, the second death has no power. The angels will take us. That's the blessing when it comes. This is also a ministry. I read that when people die from hypothermia, they get tired and they get warm. They feel like laying down, going to sleep. And they do. So this man already went to sleep. There's another one. But this man has a ministry. He almost wants to go to sleep. Yeah, he wants to go to sleep. He almost is. And this man is taking a branch and whipping him some. He's telling him things like, pull yourself together. Get up and walk. This man may say, we're almost there. Get up and walk. That's a ministry. Tough love. He that endures to the end will be saved, and we are our brother's keepers. And to have a ministry of warning. Okay. How many legs does the elephant have? If he can, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Huh? Couldn't be. How many legs does the elephant have? The enemy will twist everything that we hear. He will shade everything and distort every truth so that we don't see it clearly. But when it's properly shaded, then we can see 1, 2, 3, 4. That's all. 4 legs. And the devil would not want us to see any truth clearly. He wants everything distorted and disturbed and lied upon. So with that, we could just pray. And Father, we thank you that you saved us, that gave us salvation. We thank you that you gave us the truth so that we can see more light. We pray that we would see more light according to what is true. Help us to resist the devil so that he can flee from us. Let us return that spiritual fruit so that you can get what you are looking for in our lives and please you in all ways. Bless your people and bless this food and this fellowship we're enjoying. And bless this church and all those who couldn't come, and bless those who are sick and wish they could be here. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.